Speaking during the past week to two pastor friends in South Africa, and they just said to me separately, actually, you know, how they have to plan for the start of January because, you know, there's so many things happening and their son is going to university and life is so busy. And I guess most of us can say that, you know, that life really becomes busy. And when we look back at those days when we were at university or college or maybe at school, even we had those 2 or 3 months of leave, then it seems never ending. But then when you work and you've got a family and ministry and children, a wife or a husband, you know, you really sometimes get to a place of saying, where will I find the time to wash the car or to do this or to do that? And it's so important, church, that we really plan. And then I guess we can, those of you who like to be philosophical, you know, we can talk a lot about time and, you know, we can measure time and etc. But you know, time is a gift of God. It's something that we have. And there's obviously a limit and there's an end to our time. We read in Genesis 3 verse 19, it says, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And that just speaks to all of our hearts that we know there will be an end of our lives. And none of us know whether we will live 10 or 20 or 80 or 90 years. That's something that's in God's hands. It's something that none of us know. But what we do know is there's a full stop to our lives in this phase before eternity. There will be an end. And that means the time that we have, we need to use that wisely. And I don't want to, I'm not going to preach a sermon on time management. I'm not an expert in that, but I've learned by failing. I've learned a few things in my own life. I remember after my two sons were born, it just felt in our lives for me and my wife, if we had no time for nothing. Now, if you had a lot of young children, and then my little daughter were born when the twins were 2 years and 2 months old, and I remember we had 3 children under the age of 2.5, and it just seems like chaos in the house. And I think only a few years later, you know, me and my wife could actually walk and hold each other's hands again. Because when you each carry a baby, there's not a lot of holding hands and those type of things. But those are cycles, those are seasons in life that we all go through. But I really believe I've grown to a place, as I said many times by failing, that I've learned to plan better. And I think this time of the year is an excellent time. Usually, except if the work you do is really focused on the tourism or on, you know, something that's really busy here at the end of the year. For most of us, when the schools are closing and it's the end of year, we've got a bit of leave. So it's a time when life is hopefully a bit more quiet. So it's also a time that we can sit and reflect on the year that's passed and we can plan for the year that's ahead. And that's a few things that I actually want to share a little bit on this morning. Now, the Apostle Paul was a busy man. He wasn't just a theologian sitting in an office wearing thick glasses and a white coat and looking clever, teaching at the university. He was a man who practiced what he preached. You know, he was a practical guy, obviously was an excellent theologian as well, but he lived life. He was beaten, stoned, and shipwrecked and went through just about all the things in life one can experience. And when I look at his life, he gives us good advice about how to use our own time. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 17, he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Powerful, beautiful sentence, eh? Believe there's a lot in that. And I think when I was sitting preparing for the sermon, I just thought back when I was younger and I didn't know the Lord and how we actually waste a lot of time. And when I came into the kingdom and become a Christian, I think there's more purpose in our lives. There's more godliness. There's more planning. Hopefully that goes for all of us. And Paul talks here and he says, listen, people, you are Christians now. You are, please be wise. Don't walk as the foolish. We can go to Proverbs and we can read a lot about how the fool thinks and plans versus wisdom and where it comes from God, etc. And he says they're making the best use of the time. And church, that's one thing that we can say. We only have X amount of time and none of us know when our time will end. Scripture says that is in God's hands. But all of us, we have the same, the day is the same length for all of us. And I just was sitting a bit earlier and I was just thinking, planning a little bit. And, you know, if you sleep 30 minutes less in a day or a night, hopefully you sleep at night and not at the day most of the time. But if you sleep in a 24-hour cycle 30 minutes less, then you have 3.5 hours more at your disposal during a week. That gives you about 182 hours in a year, or about 7.5 days that you actually have to think or work or plan or have devotional time. You know, because most of us, I believe, are quite busy, and very frequently we will say, well, I can't do this right now because I don't have the time. I've got this commitment or that commitment. And many times we fall in a lot of pitfalls and a lot of trouble, because then it becomes 2 or 3 or 6 months and you haven't visited your parents maybe, or made a phone call to a good friend and, oh, sorry man, I have to apologize. I wanted to come and visit, but you know, I was just too busy. Well, that's something I have to deal with. And I guess a lot of, especially younger people that have to keep the school calendar in the back of our minds when we plan and how we do things and the church and our own jobs, etc. And here's some really, really good advice from Paul, where he says how we should conduct our daily living, how we should think and how we should plan. Paul is advocating here that these readers utilize every hour in a productive way. Divan was just previously doing the offering, where we usually talk a bit about stewardship and about our finances. And I believe there's a place where we also need to be good stewards of our time, not wasting it away. You know, not. I think there's so many things today that can. They talk about this whole selfie generation. You know, there's so much research. I think there's even a short course next year that the Schoeffer Institute will present on social change and the media and the whole everything regarding that. And I don't want to get distracted now, but they say there's never been a generation that achieved so little, and they document everything by taking photographs of themselves sticking out your tongues or licking someone next to your ears or doing something really stupid and silly that there's not a lot of sense in sometimes. We all need to take careful assessment of how we spend our time and prioritize how we use our time according to kingdom values. And you see, just a while ago, early in the year, I said to my boys, guys, you're now big enough. From now on, I've bought myself a stainless steel roaster for the first time in my life. From now on, you're going to wash it. After we use it, you wash it. You know, I don't have time for that anymore. I'm going to delegate it now to you. Okay, Dad. Well, first they seem excited, and then they see I like a Thai hoenerkie gebraaid, and that Jimmy sticky sauce is on the roster. That boy, he complains. No, Dad, the other day we just had the sausage, and it was easy to clean the roster, and now it's all difficult and stuff. And you know how kids are, they're always complaining the other one got a better deal out of it or something like that. But I'm teaching them also to work. They need to teach to be part of the household. If they want to be fed, they need to do something as well. But there's also a place where I need to prioritize and say, listen, I can do it, but I can give it to them. Maybe I'm going to have to send them back a few times and say, listen, you didn't clean it properly. But that's discipleship. There's a place where they can grow into that. A quote I want to share with you, it will be also here. It says, time has a wonderful way of showing us what really matters. Time has a wonderful way of showing us what really matters. So if you are in the peak of your career and you're really probably working hard and you're a leader in church and you're married and children and you only have limited time, you know, then you really have to plan and I remember I just bought myself a pair of golf clubs in my early 20s, and then my dad said to me, listen, you make me a promise. The day you become a father, you sell those golf clubs. Well, my dad didn't have to convince me much, because as soon as the twins were born, playing 18 holes from 7 to 2 o'clock. That's not going to happen. Otherwise, my wife is definitely going to kill me if I leave her home alone with two months old children. That's not going to be very impressive. But you see, if we turn it around,